It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Purdue and Gonzaga just tipped off.
Let's go! Number two
team in the country, and the Boilers against number 11 Gonzaga.
Wow.
A lot of great hoops action today and throughout the week. I told just earlier in the show, I am in heaven. And the fact that, you know, last year at this time, actually I was just coming back from Vegas. So maybe I wasn't in heaven
at that point.
But
I forgot.
It was pretty fun Thanksgiving week. To have an MTE to go to, a destination spot, but I'm also going to enjoy kicking back on the couch and not having a Illinois basketball game for a few days while I watch the rest of the action around the country.
You deserve that, and Cade will enjoy that, your little guy.
He will.
He'll be excited. This will be your last time, like your last really good time with Cade before basketball gets crazy, and then, of course, your child number two will be on the way, so... Cade will be like, wait a minute, well, how come they don't even spend time with me anymore, which is not true. By the way, Heath on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line thinks that we need to be mentioning this big Cardinals signing today of Lance Lynn.
Oh, Lance Lynn. We'll have to do that after we get off the phone.
Oh,
with,
and Daniel Descalso.
Yeah.
I assume Michael Wacha's next. We're just Luke Voigt, come on down. Mm-hmm. We're just going to piece together all the former Cardinals.
Lino DeShields.
Right. The Lino DeShields. Raphael Gary for Gaetti. Cole. Let's go.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Luke Altmyer probably doesn't know what we're talking about, but he is currently on the Tapman's towing phone line, the tow line. No one wants that. But in terms of this segment, it's weekly, and we love it. Brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted, Crossroads Contractor Supply, the best tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com and by Carpenters Local 243. Luke Altmyer, you got any thoughts on the Cardinals adding a pitcher who's 36 and gave four home runs in the same inning during the playoffs?
Well, I'm pretty familiar with Lance Lynn. He played at Ole Miss, so I've heard that name a few times.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, so a little bit, not much. But
I know you said you pull for the Saints in football. How about Major League Baseball?
I really don't have a team.
Okay.
The Braves are probably the closest team.
I was going to say.
So, I mean, I guess I root for those guys when they're doing well, at least. You know what I mean? But nobody other than that, really.
Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, even though I cannot stand Iowa, I owe the world an apology. Idiots out walking aimlessly. I mean, I can't stand anything about Iowa, but I will say this. Of all the stadiums that I've visited in the Big Ten, and the only one I haven't been to really is Penn State, Kinnick Stadium was my favorite. What was that like on that trip to Iowa?
Yeah, it was super unique. I've heard all about it throughout the whole year, really. My teammates have been, talking it up, hyping it up, and telling me how excited they are to some of them to go back and some of them to go for the first time. And just because of how nice it is, the atmosphere, the environment, how awesome it is, how the noise factor, the stadium itself, and how nice it is and where it is, located right by that children's hospital, and the tradition with that was super unique. And just, from start to finish, those fans were, in that game the whole time. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be there. I've always, seen it on TV, heard about it, but to be there was, super unique.
Luca, 15-13, close loss, gets away there late in the fourth quarter. What were the emotions like for you watching through that game and just what you ultimately saw out of your squad on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we knew going into the game, it'd obviously be a four-quarter game, and with Iowa being, a great team who has done, what they do for a long, long time. We kind of knew what to expect going into it. It'd be a low-scoring game and a hard-fought game, but, I thought, our guys fought. They scratched and they clawed, for four quarters. At the end of the day, we didn't make enough plays to win the game, and they did Iowa did a good job of field position and doing what they do on defense and on offense, of course, to put them in good positions. And it, at the end of the day, they made one more play than we did. And, that's the bottom line.
How do you describe your squad after that game? I mean, this is all I know from a fan perspective. I was with a bunch of Illini fans and we all looked like we'd just been beat up. It was like we had this hope. And then Iowa gets it done late and you get frustrated because you haven't won there since 99. But What was it like for your team? I mean, that's a tough one to drop.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, I mean, we were you know, very confident, and, you know, really we thought we were going to take that game for sure. And we kind of had it, you know, for 3.5 quarters there. And, you know, and that was no surprise to us. We felt all week that we had a good plan and had a good good feel for these guys about what we're going to do to attack them. And, you know, I think for 3.5 quarters, I think we did that. And obviously it was an incredibly physical game. It always is with Iowa, and you could tell, you know, it took, you know, a lot of our guys took a beating, obviously. And, you know, after the game, obviously incredibly disappointed, you know, having that feel of confidence, you know, going into it and having that game for 3.5 quarters and getting it taken away right there at the end is disheartening. Obviously it really is. And, you know, but I think we have a great group of guys who are, you know, who are led by, you know, a great leader in Coach B, and who instills the right mindset in us, and, you know, keeps us in a good headspace and provides a great perspective for us and keeps us positive and, you know, providing a mindset of, you know, how can we go 1-0 today and each week. And obviously we didn't go 1-0 that day, but, you know, you move on at the end of the day. You learn from it. You don't dwell on it. You know, I think the mission is, you know, not let Iowa beat us twice here coming up against Northwestern.
Luke Altmaier is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Luke, as you probably know, anyone wanted to talk about last week was the quarterback situation, who was going to start between you and John. Ultimately, Brett decides to give the reins to John to go in there into Iowa City. At what point did you know that was the decision, and how did you handle that after finding out?
Yeah, I think I knew pretty early on, you know, after the Indiana game, you know, the following day or the day after, it was Coach B made it clear to me about what he wanted to do after John's heroic performance against Indiana. I mean, you know, I understood it. You know, how can you take that guy off the field after what he had, you know, did that Saturday, and I understood it. It obviously didn't make me too happy, but at the end of the day, I just wanted to be a good teammate for my team, put the team first, and ultimately want to see my guys win. And knew early on that week and knew my role throughout the week. And it was very difficult watching on the sidelines and wanting to be in there to be a leader for my team and to fight with my guys. But, you know, I know John did a great job. He really did.
Sure.
And, he put us in good positions, and he's a great player. He really is, and a great competitor. And, you know, I think we both learned from each other. And at the end of the day, I know this moment and this moment of time is going to be really good for me and my career moving forward.
Luke, I know we asked you last Monday how you were feeling off the concussion. What's that been like within the last week in terms of you getting back to hopefully, and I'll let you answer this question, feeling like yourself and what you've been able to do out there on the football field?
Yeah, so, you know, last week I was able to kind of get back into the flow of things. You know, I was feeling pretty good. You know, I was obviously available for the game. I was stressed out, and that was because I was feeling good. You know, I was feeling normal. I'd passed concussion protocol and was able to practice throughout the whole week, you know, fully, and, you know, prepare as if I was going to be the, you know, the guy that was going to play. And, you know, physically, you know, feel normal. I wouldn't even know I had a concussion if I didn't know it, you know, I feel great.
Luke Altmaier on the Tapman's Towing phone line. We had a little bit of a discussion in the first hour with Jay Lehman and Derek and I about the starter coming up this week. And I'm sure this is something that, you know, in your mind, you've obviously thought a lot about. I was vehement that you should be the starting quarterback this weekend against Northwestern. I feel like you didn't lose your job because of performance, and I feel like you should be back out there now against Northwestern. I thought it was right to start Paddock against Iowa because he was kind of the hot hand at the time, but I feel like now the momentum stalled, and now I'd go back to the starter that was named starter day one. So should you start, Luke, in this game against Northwestern, you think?
That's a great question, I guess. But, you know, obviously I want to play, you know what I mean, and at the end of the day, you know, I try to control what I can control. And, right, you know, at the end of the day, that's my play and, you know, how I show up for my teammates every day. And, you know, Coach Bielema and Coach Lenny, and they'll have those conversations. And to name that guy, I think they've already done it. But at the end of the day, you know, it's out of my control. I mean, that's the bottom line. And obviously be out there for my team and to be a leader for my guys and to fight with them. But, you know, I'll keep putting one foot in front of the other. And like I said, I know this moment of time and these moments will be so good for my career moving forward and provides a lot of perspective for me.
And my apologies for putting you on the spot there, but I think it's important for you to answer that. But I'll also ask you this, Luke, because the way you said that, like putting one foot in front of the other, this is a good learning moment for any parent that has kids to say, all right, look what Luke Altmyer is doing right now. He's in the sense now becoming a good teammate with regards to kind of as the backup. How tough is that? And what's the protocol on something like that? Is it you go to Coach Bielma and to Coach Lonnie and say, hey, just so you guys know, I feel like I should be starting this Saturday. I mean, is that fair to do? And I would assume they'd probably expect you to do that. And then once that, you know, the other, you know, if Paddock is named the starter, then you go into full great teammate mode, no doubt. And I have no doubt from getting to know you that you would do that in a heartbeat. But what is kind of the modem there of you going in? And do you go in and say, I'm ready?
Yeah, I think that's a tricky situation.
Right.
You know, I've kind of thought, you know, I've obviously had those thoughts and I've talked that over with my parents. And, you know, I know they feel the same way as, you know, as I do and want me to be out there, obviously, and have their emotions and as well as I do. And that's just a tricky situation to kind of approach. Obviously, Coach B and Coach Lunny, you know, have those conversations about what they think they should do. And they have their opinion. I have my opinion. And at the end of the day, those are the guys that are fearless leaders. They're going to do what they want to do. But, you know, I think, you know, letting my thoughts be heard to them is not a bad thing, I don't think. I think they respect it. They kind of know what how I feel through my actions and how I practice, how I lead the team and things like that. And if those conversations do come up, you know, I'll speak my mind in that aspect. And but at the end of the day, I'm going to respect 100%
sure,
about
sure.
You know where they want to go. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be a great teammate. And that's, you know, I think that's what I value most about this game as a whole. And like I said, I obviously want to be out there and, you know, I feel like I can help my team in a lot of ways. And so it's a tricky situation to navigate with those conversations and, you know, handling those emotions. But, you know, I'll let, you know, those things play out the way they play out. And ultimately, like I said, just put one foot in front of the other and, you know, be the best version of me that I can be.
I tell you, your character and your maturity is light years ahead of a lot of kids your age. So great answer there, Luke. Great answer. Pipes.
Luke, as we go forward, you look at Northwestern. What stands out about them? They're playing some better football here down the stretch. A big game, obviously a rivalry
Let's
game,
go.
But also one where you guys can earn bowl eligibility. What do you look at when you think of the Wildcats?
Yeah, a lot of factors into this game. Obviously, the rivalry feel of the game and a trophy game and, you know, trying to win the state, if you could say that. But, and, you know, fighting for bowl eligibility too. And, you know, Northwestern's, you know, a team that's, you know, been playing with some confidence lately. Have won, I think, three of their last five. And I've been, like I said, playing with a lot of confidence, been playing some good football. So it's going to be no easy task, you know, Saturday going into Memorial and, you know, winning that game, they're going to be inspired. And, you know, those rivalry games are always going to be, usually are always tight. People, those guys play extra hard and things like that. And, there's just a lot more to it. So, it'll be an interesting one. And, you know, our coach will put us in great positions to maximize our opportunities. And, you know, ultimately I think it's about us and how we prepare and how we execute.
How big of a motivating factor is the bowl game? How bad do you think the guys in that locker room want that opportunity?
Yeah, I think our guys just love to play football. You know, no matter if it's the national championship or if it's a 6-win bowl game, you know, I know that's how I feel. You know, I love, you know, playing football. You know, I love taking advantage of opportunities that, you know, God places in front of me. And, you know, I know a lot of our guys feel that way too. And you know, I think winning, you know, in everything we do is what we want to do. And, you know, I know that's how I feel. And, you know, I'm pretty confident that's how our building feels as well.
All right, Luke, for Thanksgiving, these guys laugh at me, but this is, I mean, obviously you do the traditional turkey, that kind of stuff. Obviously you guys will be preparing for a football game, so I kind of feel bad even talking about this. But that said, have you ever done the next day after Thanksgiving just pieces of turkey on toast with mustard, nacho Doritos, and a Mountain Dew? Would Luke Altmaier eat that, or would your nutritionist say you're going to look like Lante one day if you keep eating stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever happen in my entire life.
Wait, is it the Dew? Is it the Dorito? What's wrong with that? That's a good meal, Luke.
The whole deal. I think it's the whole deal you got going on. I think that's just you, to be honest with you.
All right, we saw a truckload, a tailgate full of ducks and one goose. Did Goody, does he not know what a duck looks like and accidentally shot a goose, or what's going on here?
Hey, I think our motto is if it flies, it dies. And, you know, it came in our vicinity, and, you know, it's good eating, so, you know, we took it down. So had a lot of fun. It was enjoyable.
Goose awesome. Is good to eat? I didn't know.
Yeesh.
Yeah. You can fix it up and, you know, make it real good.
See, that's the, you got to fix it up.
Fix it up.
Now, duck to me is good, but goose, you got to fix up a little bit with some Mississippi flavoring, probably.
Yeah, gotta do a little bit.
We got to know, was it a competition? Did one guy shoot more ducks than the other? Or is this just kind of laid back and any rivalry brewing there of who has the better shot? Because there's been some trash talk.
There has.
Yeah, I think I put that trash talk to rest. And, you know, it's pretty sure. It's a locked-in deal about, you know, who's the dead eye.
Goody better ask for the old duck hut for Christmas so he can practice up.
Right.
No, we had a lot of fun. It was a great time.
I think it's great that you guys are able to do that and kind of get away from the sport for a while and just kind of take a deep breath and get into Mother Nature and see all that stuff. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Luke, it is always great having you on, my friend. I mean that. It has been an interesting end to the season, but certainly let's hope that we get it done against Northwestern and get a bowl game, and even if it's Detroit, let's go play a bowl game and have some fun. Luke, thanks so much, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too.
Okay, buddy.
Luke Altmaier, we appreciate him as always. Appreciate the sponsors that make it happen. Max Twin City Recycling, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it, Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance, visit brianismyguy.com, and by Carpenters Local 243. He, of course, joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Good stuck. Stuck. Duck. Stuff. I can't talk. I need to.
Stuck the duck.
I need some, a couple days
off.
How
about this? 40 degrees and cloudy on Saturday for the game against Northwestern. It doesn't give me the wind. You know, you get that gnarly wind thing, you know, on your weather. So 40 degrees, that's hard. I mean, that's hard to complain to get 40 degrees in late November at a game at Memorial Stadium. You know, it'll be chilly.
I assume
it'll be an 11 a.m. game. I don't know if it's been announced, but I'd have a hard time believing that Illinois is not going to play an 11 a.m. game against Northwestern.
It is 2:30 BTN.
Oh, it is? Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I didn't realize that. So I don't think I'm going to be able to go because Andrew's going to have basketball in a holiday tournament that day. So basketball, by the way, starts today. Boys basketball. I think Muhammad is at Centennial. I think Andrew is going to go to that game tonight. STM for Andrew, they start tomorrow night at 6 o'clock over in Cerro Gordo playing in that tournament. They play Uni High. So
very nice. A lot of turkey tournaments going on this week.
I cannot
awesome.
Wait, Derek. I don't know that I've ever been more excited for a season to roll around than this basketball season. I'm excited to watch basketball. I just realize there's two things that I realize. I can't stand not having something to do because I'm not good at that. I'm not the guy that then turns around and goes and walks 18 miles a day. Like, I need to be busy. I'm a busy, I need to be busy kind of guy. Otherwise, I can become about as lazy as anybody in the world. But not only that, in 2 years, when Andrew is done with all of the high school athletics and it's done, because Lucas obviously has graduated, Now, unless he goes on to play, you know, baseball, let's say in college, which he'd love to do, I don't know what I'm going to do. I honestly don't. I'm depressed anyway when this time of year comes around and it's dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And luckily I've got Christmas music to keep me rolling. But man, when you then say to me, oh, by the way, you've got nobody to go watch. I'm going to have to like adopt because Cade's not going to be old enough yet.
It's true.
I mean, is Jeremy's son going to, he'd be old.
He'd be old enough to play some YMCA ball or something.
But that's a long drive to go watch Torin. Yeah, I'm going to have somebody's, I'm going to have to adopt some kids. Like, not literally adopt your kids,
just
but
to
I
go
will
cheer them on.
Yeah,
at some
I'll be
sporting
a,
events.
A surrogate, yeah, fan. Is surrogate the right word there? I'm not sure if that's the right word. Matt said he thought geese were protected.
Hey, Bobby, come over here. This is your surrogate fan, father, uncle guy.
Yeah, Matt, you know what? It was actually just a big old tailgate of duck.
It was.
Some mallards.
One was a little oversized.
Yeah, bigger duck.
Yeah, big. Could have been a mistake.
Oh.
Good stuff. All right, do you want to hear some Brett Bielema? He spoke to the media today, I believe.
I'd like to hear a little of that, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts on
basketball too.
Yeah. Illinois' win last night. How bad is it with Moretti?
Don't know yet. He was in a boot in the second half.
Can I join the ever-growing? You know when like some running back for the Jets runs for like 120 yards, and the next week on Yahoo he's been picked up. He's been added by 25,000 people and dropped, you know, by only four.
Yes.
And you wonder who those four are. But can I add to that 25,000 list of, I like Nico Moretti.
Yeah.
I mean, I like his energy.
Mm-hmm.
I do like his energy.
Let's get into that on the other side of this break. Let's talk some Illini hoops. They win last night. 88-60, they beat Valpo. That was a little bit more of a frustrating one, and allowing Roger Powell's squad to hang around there on Friday. But we can discuss the game last night. They won't play again until Black Friday. By the way, we'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. So you got us the rest of today and then tomorrow.
That's it.
I mean, yeah.
Kyle's probably at home going, I guarantee you that was Lon's idea.
Wednesday was actually my idea.
It was your idea.
I will take the fall for
that
one.
And I put up absolutely zero.
Oh, he was so mad at me. So mad.
Because I had forgotten we had actually touched. We'd actually talked about that. So you texted me back and said, hey, do you mind if we also take Wednesday? And I could not get hell no texted to you quick enough. I was like, nah.
Just want to spend a little bit more time with my son before I get out on the road. My brother's in town from Washington, D.C. too. So, excited to spend some time with the fam coming up.
I'm a little nervous for the holidays this year without my brother. Mm. I'm a little nervous about how that's – man, and I instantly almost like start crying. It's gonna be hard for my mom and I, but, you know, you just got to – you got to forge on, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be tough. Man. Yeah. No, I'm sorry to – I'm excited for you, like, to have your brother, but it tricked me, like, right when you said that, it kind of caught me off guard. Believe me, I'm excited for you to have your brother back home and you guys to spend time as a family. I think that's awesome, but it'll be the first holidays without my brother around, so that'll be hard. Sorry.
Apologies, man.
My fault.
Let's catch a break. We'll regroup and talk some basketball on the other side. This is The Drive.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
Mark your calendars for the annual Turkey Trot Thanksgiving morning at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana.
It's totally free, and the first 800 participants will get a ribbon. Registration at 8 a.m. The Turkey Trot steps off at 9 a.m. Gather near the lake house at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana for prizes to follow. It's a great way to start Thanksgiving. For details on the annual Turkey Trot, visit urbanaparks.org. Urbana Park District, you belong here.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Are you looking for something this holiday season for your customers that can say thank you from you, but at the same time showcase your business and their support? The hunt is over. We offer custom wrapped coolers and lasered mugs, tumblers, water bottles in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Call us at Aftershock, 833-DECAL-IT, or look us up online, AftershockDD.com. That's AftershockDD.com.
Here's your OSF Healthcare Medical Minute.
Hi, I'm JT Barnhart, the president of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. Want to start by just thanking our providers and our staff, our mission partners at the hospital for the great care that they take of our community in providing the services. One of the new offerings that we have coming up in the next couple of months, we've recruited an interventional pain provider who will be able to do some of those injections and procedures to help people who are struggling with long-term pain. In conjunction with that, we have an orthopedic spine surgeon that will work together with the interventional pain provider to really offer a robust spine pain service for the community of Champaign-Urbana and the surrounding areas. We have also brought in a brand new open heart surgeon. He is doing a really good job, really helping us expand our heart program to be a more regional heart institute at OSF in Urbana. And so want to just continue doing the great things that we're doing around our cardiac program to offer a great service for the community.
For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful, and that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over when you see flashing lights. Everybody is somebody, somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank CD specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates, visit your local service center, or call 1-800-67-BUSEY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Broccoli stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Welcome to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm looking for a refrigerator.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Oh, yeah, well, I just need a refrigerator. Don't need the whole store.
But you get it, the whole store.
My kitchen is only about this big.
You get me.
Hello.
All those delivery, installation, and service technicians in back.
Wow, all those people?
The Dick Van Dyke 5-10-year protection plan, which means in the unlikely event something goes wrong in the first 5 years, your repair cost is nothing.
Nothing?
10 years parts coverage on the major components.
Looks like
like I'm getting more than a refrigerator today. How much does this whole store cost?
Nothing.
Come on.
For real. We guarantee to beat any competitor's deal, all that other stuff we talked about, like our service tax.
And your 5-10-year protection plan.
All included.
I'm Dennis Reagan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we say you get the whole store, we mean the whole store. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Busey is proud to give us, well, give back to its communities by doing the right thing for customers and building trusted relationships that span generations. In 21 and 22, Busey Associates gave over 20,000 hours of their time to hundreds of organizations. Nearly 200 associates actively commit to board service in their communities, and they've contributed almost $260,000 in scholarships throughout. It is amazing what they've done. They've also raised, Busey Associates, raised more than $450,000 through the Pay It Forward Friday's payroll deduction initiative. That's amazing. For more information about Busey's volunteer initiatives and charitable campaigns, check out Busey's 2022 Impact Report. To learn more and read the report in full, visit Busey.com/impact.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Current update from the Maui Invitational.
Zach Edey is tall and big.
He is.
That's the update.
The underdog, though.
Yeah.
Number 11, Gonzaga, up 30-22 on the second-ranked Boilers. You know, Braden Huff is apparently playing really, really well for them. He was a AAU teammate of Jaden Shute on the Illinois Wolves. 6'10", big man, very skilled. Pretty much went to Gonzaga. He redshirted a year, sat on the bench behind Drew Timmy. And now he's averaged like 21 points per game up until this point.
Wow.
And, I saw him have a nice fast break dunk earlier in the game. So
now will he come here to Illinois after Shute does? I'm making that call.
I don't know.
The two calls I've made, the safety that went to Wisconsin from Johnston City.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Can't remember his name. Brown. He'll end up at Illinois, and Shute will end up at Illinois.
All right.
But please
keep... You had Luke Ford pegged, right?
I did.
Did you call that one?
Keep me off the message boards, though.
I don't know. I didn't put you on there, but okay. Somebody popped in and said, hey, Lante's been calling this one for months.
Oh, boy. I just think... I want Shute next year. Got plenty of spots.
Could use some shooters, for sure.
Plenty of spots, and I'll always take a shooter.
Yeah, no doubt.
Goody on one side and Shute on the other.
I like the sound of it personally. Woo! I do.
Hey, I thought this was a really good text from the U of I Line text line from a 217. Said, so with Moretti, I love how we brought true point guard that gets the – what? I don't know what he's – I love how they brought in, I guess, the true point guard that gets the ball moving. People say, quote, can he guard? Is he athletic enough? Yes, he is. We don't need athletes. We need a point guard. Look at some of the point guards running late in the tournament that beat us. Many aren't the most athletic. They're just great ball handlers, smart, etc. I like that.
That's a fair point. I do wonder how he's going to hold up on the ball if he is guarding. The luxury of having Ty Rogers is that, you know, Nico might then slide to a two if you're worried about the point guard taking him off the bounce. Now, it depends on who that two guard is. I think about, you know, Purdue here a couple of years ago when they had Saša Stefanović and he was more of an off-ball shooter that you do have to chase through screens. And Trent Frazier, of course, that's an important matchup. They had Trent ultimately guard. But can you hide him a little bit defensively? I do, until proven otherwise, worry a little bit about him because he's still pretty slender. He's not the most athletic. I think as you get into these high major games, especially in the Big Ten, we know how physical it is. Tennessee is one of those hard-nosed athletic team. So I wonder what that would look like at the defensive end for him.
Good point.
But offensively, there's no doubt. I mean, he showed it last night. Number one, he's very talented offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got the ball on a string. He's got the ability to see the floor really well. And he's a pure point guard. Terrence had a line last night. Like, unlike pretty much, I'll just say it flat out, unlike anybody else on their roster, Nico Moretti has been a point guard from the day he started playing basketball all the way through today. Nobody else on their roster can say that.
No.
Nobody.
Even Dre?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Dre maybe was a combo.
He's been a combo in high school. So I know a lot of guys, you know, they, when you're the best player on the team, maybe you're running the point guard and whatnot.
Yeah.
But Nico has been groomed as a point guard. You can see it in the way that he plays. And like I said, there's just, he's able to make decisions at a pace that is, you know, you don't necessarily worry about him being reckless. He's just, he's able to operate off the dribble, get to spots, break down a defense, deliver passes. He got to the rim and finished a couple of times. It was nice. And I've said it here recently. I think that beyond Terrence Shannon, there hasn't been enough guys, or maybe even really anyone other than Terrence Shannon, that's consistently getting into the lanes of a defense. And I feel like Moretti can do that off the dribble and then set other guys up.
Why am I forgetting his name? Who was the point guard that came here and was just dynamic and then...
Andre Curbelo?
Yeah, Andre Curbelo. Would this be his last year?
Let's see. He's at Southern Miss right now. I don't even know if he's eligible because he has now transferred multiple times. He came in with... He come in with Coleman?
I thought he did.
Yeah, he'd be a senior still with a COVID year if he had stuck it all the way out.
Can we say this? I mean, obviously we know what happened with Curbelo and, you know, the injury obviously didn't help with the concussion and then just kind of some weird stuff it felt like with him. But I don't want to be mean. I liked him personally. I thought he was a good kid. He came on our show a few times. Can we say that it's not like it was a major miss because he was a hit for a year. Yeah. Right? I mean, he was incredible. Remember that Big Ten tournament?
Sixth man of the year in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Him not finishing out at Illinois, how much of a factor has that played into – and it's not like Illinois hasn't had good years after that.
Mm-hmm.
I just – if he would have continued to go and ascent – is that the word I'm looking for? Ascension?
Ascend.
Thank you. Not ascent. If he would have continued to ascend
– yeah.
Illinois could have been really, really good.
He was supposed to be your Cassius Winston type, a four-year point guard, a guy that coming out of high school didn't really project as a immediate early entry into the NBA draft kind of guy. Now, that buzz really picked up after his first year. And this is a quick aside. I could go on a huge soapbox if I wanted to. Can we stop with the NBA tags too early on people? It's gotten way too out of hand, and it puts unrealistic expectations on, and I'm not saying it's just fans. It comes from people's circles and their families and coaches and whatnot. But like the idea of, you know, Ty Rogers plays on the USA junior national team before he even shows up to Champaign, and like, oh, you know, he could be a, you know, he could be a sneaky one and done type of guy. He could go to the NBA draft. And I don't want it to sound like I'm picking on certain players. But, you know, we've had Coleman has been on the NBA radar for a while. If he didn't play better this year, he's not getting drafted, period.
Right.
And the same thing, you know, Andre Curbelo, after his first year, you even heard around the program, hey, you know, if he just shoots it a little bit better, he could be a first-round pick.
That's a good call, Derek.
So,
Andrew Tay is the same height as Dame Lillard.
Is that right?
I mean,
hey.
I'm throwing it out there.
Hey.
I'm throwing the comp out.
Send him to Weber State. That was the old Dame stomping grounds. Came out of nowhere.
Hell yeah, I'll go to Weber State.
Yeah, let's do it.
Good news, Andrew. You're going to Weber State.
Right.
You don't know where that's at.
So,
I don't either.
I think it quickly got...
That's a great point.
It just quickly got framed to Andre's probably not going to be here all that long after his freshman year. Now, ultimately, that was correct because he transferred. He had the issue with the concussion. And yes, there were some off-the-court stuff with him that... He was a little problematic and had some things personally to get worked out. And I think, you know, obviously I'm not as nearly as close to it now, but It seems like it's still something that he's got to overcome a little bit. But, yes, if he would have been what we forecasted going in as a guy that only got better, a guy that stayed here for 4 years, you would have your point guard. You would probably, on that same path, he would have been slotted in as one of the best point guards in the Big Ten. That's what he was supposed to be. I thought of him as someone that would come in, that would flash early because he did have that flair and also just a really, really good ability to – it was hard to keep him from going where he wanted to off the dribble. And obviously he had great vision. He got way too fancy with it. That kind of consumed him a little bit. He became too much showman and not as much –
He certainly did.
Make the play point guard. But, you know, you could do a whole show on Andre Curbelo. But I thought that by – especially his junior and senior year, similar to Cassius Winston, he would lead the Big Ten in assists, be an all-league guy, and be someone that other people around the country would say, man, we would love to have that guy on our team because he profiles perfectly as a point guard that takes you where you want to go in March.
That's exactly right. And it's too bad it didn't occur because I felt like with maturity, he could have become that guy, that player that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of maturity factor there with him. But, man, it just would have answered. I mean, you know, last year you didn't really have one. And this year I don't know that you have one, a point guard. And just to think that you had that point guard. Like it's a weird dynamic because it's like, well, why doesn't Brad have point guards for this team the last 2 years? Well, you had one, and you had a damn good one until weird stuff.
That was weird. You also had the two current starting point guards at Louisville and Georgetown. Sky Clark, who had 20 points against Texas and nearly knocked off the Longhorns yesterday.
I saw that.
Epps had 31 to make sure Georgetown didn't lose to American.
Oh, my. Did Sky go out after the game and peel away in his Porsche?
He might have.
I never hear his name again.
I know. Let me circle it back to Moretti, though. So I'm pulling up KenPom, which – Lon with his coffee or Mountain Dew every morning, just instead of the paper, he goes to KenPom and just dives into the numbers.
Sorry, News Gazette.
Illinois currently, defensive efficiency, they're 13th in the country.
Are they really?
They're by the analytics, a top-notch defense. I think that there are some things that you can pick apart a little bit or poke holes in defensively.
I don't mean to say, are they really like with some huge question mark? Yeah. I think they're good defensively.
I think they're good.
I just didn't know they were that good.
Yeah. Offensively, 65th. So on the topic of Moretti, would you be willing to give up a little defense to get the offense as far as the movement and what he can do with the ball in his hands? Now, we have to see it against teams that are better than Valpo and Southern.
Right.
And you're going to, you know, we're one game removed from Big Ten play. You play Western Illinois, and then your next game is at Rutgers, and then it's FAU, It's Tennessee. So
in a heartbeat.
Let's say his foot is not seriously hurt. Would you be willing to give him a decent chunk of minutes off the bench to have a point guard?
Yes, I would. Patrick said Epp scored, and I'm going to get back to yours, but this caught my eye. Epp's had 31 and 4 dimes. We had a great point guard. Was Epps that good of a point guard? I mean,
he was more of a scorer.
Yeah.
I thought he would, similar to Trent Frazier, in my personal opinion, I thought he'd become more polished as a playmaker in time.
He was averaging 7 assists after 2 games this year. So obviously he's doing it a lot more with Georgetown. Maybe
I don't know what his turnover rate is. He's also they really have not very much around him, and they're going to lose a lot of games. Right. So.
And his dad's got a better seat, I think, courtside maybe. So he's happier. So Jay's
Ed
happier.
Cooley doesn't yell as much.
Oh, he doesn't yell as much. Okay.
Yes.
Back to your original question. I would for Nico Moretti. I'm like a guy in the desert that's looking for some water. Mm. That's what I am with a point guard. I loved watching Moretti last night until he got hurt. And I think it's that I go into it with, like, understanding his limitations. Like, I don't go into it thinking, you know, he's unbelievable on both ends of the court. He's the second coming of, you know, the kid you just played for Marquette. But I also love his energy. I love his pass-first thought.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, but on a team that has plenty of guys that can shoot, I'm not saying they shoot well, but that want to shoot, I like a guy that is thinking pass-first and thinking, how can I get this ball where it needs to be? And I feel like this team has a couple of guys with Damask and Goody and Guerrier that could step out, and that if they were put in better positions, even if they added a percentage or two to their three-point shot, would then bring up the team's three-point shooting. Because a point guard puts you in a position either with a good pass, hitting you right where it's needed to be, or it got his penetration got your defender off enough to where you're not shooting a contested three, which Brad Underwood complained about last year, mm-hmm. in that Illinois did more than anybody in the country early in a shot clock. So part of the reason you're taking contested threes is because you have to. Because you don't have anybody breaking defenses down.
Yeah.
Like, think of Duke all these years where they would spread out all over the court, and somebody, now they always, look, when you're recruiting five stars, you got guys like Grant Hill that are breaking guys down and then making the pass, and that guy is wide open for a three. Well, naturally, your percentage is going to go up when you're wide open. Any of us can go out there by ourselves on a basketball court and feel like we're a pretty good shooter. That's why guys my age still think we're pretty good at horse, because there's nobody guarding us. But when somebody's right in your grill, it's a lot harder to make your percentages of a three-point shot, and I think that's where a good point guard can really help. I truly believe a good point guard could raise Illinois' three-point shooting percentage by 3 or 4%.
That's fair.
Analytically speaking.
Yeah, of course. Of course. The trends say that. Just as Brad said, the trend says if you break your foot 3 years later, your free throw shooting gets worse.
Is that right?
I don't. You must have missed that. I asked him why Dane Danger, if there's anything in his form that's really messing him up, and he said, yeah, you know, it's been well documented that if you have a broken foot, it can be detrimental to your form. So he's still fighting that 3 years later. Sorry, Brad. I'm just kind of messing around a little bit.
Wow.
But on the note of Nico, I think that, again, it's Southern. The only thing they do well defensively is turn you over, which they turned Illinois over 20 times. Yeah. If you don't turn it over, the other results for your possessions are usually scores. Like, you get through their press. It was a layup line or a dunk line to the rim. Terrence Shannon was really dominating in that fashion. But it felt like Moretti got you to play faster. And I thought Illinois, one of their ways to combat being maybe limited or have some warts within their half-court offense is try to run more. And I feel like with Moretti's pace vision that Illinois can play faster in the fast break and get into their offense. And I also feel like if a point guard is getting into the lane, it just attracts more attention from the defense. So whether that's kickouts for threes or whether that's cuts to the basket, hey, that's a legal play. That's a legal play, Illinois. I know you can do it. You acted like it against Kansas. There were a little stretch here in the regular season where it hasn't seemed like you're like, I don't know if they might call it. You know, they might call it on us. That would be something they could do with Moretti getting into the gaps as well. So
that's a good call.
I like what I saw.
Sal asked how Cade's handles were. Cade's going to be a big dude.
He's going to be tall.
He's going to be tall. So I don't know.
I want to make him, though, like a skilled big.
Yes.
We're not going old school. We're not going to say, you know, for the first 14 years of his life, hey, you go stand on the block, and that's the only way you're getting your points.
Call him Kofi.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'd love to have Kofi back.
Because if he's like his dad, I was 6'2 in middle school. And then I was 6'2 in high school.
Uh-huh.
And then a power forward at 6'2 really wasn't that really wasn't that useful. Beyond obviously high school. So
6'2 is a good height as well. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you wanna be able to 309 just put the analytical world on fire with the idea of just shoot twos. How dare you?
I'd say go to the rim more for sure.
How dare
they
you?
They did that last night.
The analytics tell you. No, I don't know if they do. I'm with you, though, and Derek's been trumping that all year.
I want to hit you with a stat that I dug through as far as the slow starts, and then we're going to go to a break because we're desperately in need of one. last night was the first time in 11 games that Illinois, going back to late last season, that Illinois had a lead after the first 5 minutes of a game.
It's the first time since when?
In 11 games, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's disgusting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Wow. Mm.
So a little bit of a faster start last night.
Weird, too, because last night I kind of got on a 20-second rant when somebody on, like, I can't remember who was doing the game. Was that Bardo? And I don't think it was Bardo. It was the play-by-play guy.
Bardo was there. Who was the play-by-play?
Whoever it was, doesn't matter. Just said, well, you know, Illinois, kind of a slow start. And I looked at the screen, and we were up like 16. And I'm like, guys, what do you want? Like, and I think fans are the same way. Like, I've had people text me today saying, well, we've looked a little sloppy in these games against, well, you know what? You're not losing them either.
It's true.
Ask Michigan State about James Madison. You know, I mean,
Mizzou just lost to Jackson State.
Exactly. So, yeah, Illinois doesn't look perfect, but what do you expect? Do you expect to be up 48-4? And you haven't missed a free throw, you haven't missed a three.
That'd be nice.
I'll take it. But sometimes I'm like, guys, you're up 16. You're up 16.
I know. I mean, there's always things to try to correct.
You're always going
to I'll tell you, like, Southern, that's what they do to you. Like, yeah. Arizona turned it over 23 times against Southern. Arizona's the number 3 team in the country. They went to Cameron Indoor and beat Duke.
Wow, that's right.
So TCU, who they played in the opener, turned it over 16 times. So that doesn't excuse. Illinois had some sloppy plays, made some bad decisions with the ball. But Southern is – they tried to speed you up and play that way. So,
play reckless. And they're not do it like a big dog Southern.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what do you, that's something that Trevor Valise asked last night. Was there, what are they the Southern of? They're Southern, but what are they the Southern of?
That's why we
miss Trevor Valise. Because those are the type of witty comments that we miss having on the air.
Where are they from? What state? Left-handed type is coming up. I mean, I've got it right in front of me. I could have looked.
Let's try it here.
Are they like Mississippi? Are they
Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Louisiana. So maybe they are South.
They're South for sure. I just don't know what they're
Southern
South of what?
That is such a Trevor.
Yeah. All right, we do for one more break. Come back and wrap up the show. This is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom into Audubon, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audubon, Audibel, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibelteam.com. That's Audibel. If you want more information about Audubon and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibelteam.com. That's Audibel. Audibelteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audubon. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibelteam.com. That's audibelteam.com.
Pia's gets you ready for Thanksgiving on Tuesday the 21st. Here's Chad.
Well, we got turkey bowling. We have turkey bowling the 21st, sponsored by Kerner's Trivia, Miller Lite, Coors Light as well. Come out, roll the Fullerton turkey. Starts at 7 o'clock. We roll the turkey at 7:45. But on the 21st of November, rain or shine, we have heated tents. Bring yourselves out, your families, except leave the kids at home. And come on out and roll some frozen turkeys with us.
Pia's Turkey Bowling, Tuesday after 7 at 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
ILLINI. Cheer on the Illini at Pia's. The pregame fun starts at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill. Pia's serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. Enjoy 350 22-ounce light and Coors Light drafts every home and away Illini game. Watch the game at Pia's or ride the free shuttle to all home games. You'll find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield.